All right, welcome back. More of the Connor Happer Show. I'm Connor Happer, Josh Hodson as well. Here in 1620 The Zone and on 1620thezone.com. We have an ongoing crisis alert in baseball. I'd call it a crisis. I think it's elevated to a crisis at this point. There's a lot of other crises, such as exploding elbows, but very high on the list still is their horrible uniforms. And for more on that, we head to UniWatch. Paul Lucas joins us now on the 42 Degrees, the Source Hotline. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
So I'm reading the latest latest entry into the saga on UniWatch.com right now, which is that Mariners pitcher Bryce Miller had had to wear the Bat Boys pants because his pants didn't fit correctly in his most recent start, which is pretty par for the course, it seems like.
Yeah, it's the latest chapter in this sort of running fiasco in the rollout of the 2024 Major League Baseball uniforms, which has just been a disaster on so many different levels. Bryce Miller may be the only pitcher who's been forced to wear the Bat Boys pants, but he's certainly not the only player, and it's mostly pitchers, who have complained about the fit of the pants. And it makes sense that it would mostly be pitchers because, you know, baseball mostly, let's be honest, mostly involves just standing around.
Yeah.
Right? For most of the other positions, you know, you can stand there in left field all game and you know, not really move that much. But pitchers, they move a lot. And Nike, which makes the Major League Baseball uniforms, apparently changed the customization program and the tailoring program for this year's pants that it used to be players could customize, you know, the thigh and the calf and the cuff and all this. They could, you know, they could fine tune it exactly the way they wanted it. And this year, Nike simplified that system somewhat in a way that a lot of players are not happy about. And Bryce Miller apparently is one of them.
So let's go back to the beginning of this saga. Like the first question, I guess, right off the bat is why? Why have things changed this rapidly? And I mean, we'll get into why the rollout of it and why it's been received so poorly. But like, why are we here? Why did Major League Baseball decide to go this way with the production of their uniforms?
It's not that unusual, for better or worse, for a manufacturer to roll out a new tailoring template. Either at the beginning when they take over a league's uniform contract or sometimes in the middle of the contract. So, for example, when Nike took over the NFL's uniforms in 2012, we started seeing seams in different places on the jersey, a different collar on all the jerseys, because Nike was transitioning from Reebok's tailoring template. And Nike has actually revised that tailoring template in the NFL several times since 2012, and that has mostly gone pretty smoothly. Similarly, when Nike took over for Adidas, when they took over the NBA's contract in 2017, same thing. The Adidas template was scrapped, and Nike substituted their own. Same thing when Adidas took over for Reebok in the NHL in 2017. So that's what's happening here, is that Nike took over Major League Baseball's uniforms in 2020, but for the first several years of their contract, they continued using the old Majestic fabric. Majestic was the previous supplier. They used Majestic's fabric. They used Majestic's tailoring specs. They used all the basic design specs, and they basically just put the swoosh on it. This year, and it was supposed to have happened earlier, but it got delayed by the pandemic. This year, Nike said, okay, we're ready to roll out our tailoring template with our new fabric and our new specs, and that's why that's happening this year. And again, it's not so unusual for a manufacturer to do that. What's unusual is for it to be so poorly executed and apparently so poorly thought out.
What does Fanatics have to do with all this? Where do they come into the equation?
Fanatics bought Majestic in 2017. So people think of Fanatics as a retail operation, and for the most part, that is what they are. But they bought Majestic in 2017, and that included the factory in Pennsylvania that has made Major League Baseball uniforms for over 20 years. And so they bought that factory, and for 2017, 18, and 19, which were the last 3 years of the Majestic uniform contract with Major League Baseball. That same factory continued to produce the Majestic uniforms, but those employees were technically at that point Fanatics employees, and the factory was technically a Fanatics factory. When Nike took over in 2020, they continued to use that same factory, and as I mentioned, they continued to use the Majestic fabric. So really nothing changed at that point except that Fanatics was serving as Nike's subcontractor for manufacturing. And they still are. But what's different this year is that the design specs have changed. Nike said, you're not going to use the same fabric that you've been using for the jerseys. We have a new fabric. It's supposedly lighter weight, blah, blah, blah. And we've decided that the lettering for the players' names is going to be smaller on the back of the jersey because it makes it lighter. And again, blah, blah, blah. Basically, all those changes we're seeing, that's Nike telling the factory, you know, we don't want you to make this product anymore. Now we're going to start making this product. So Fanatics is involved, but that's not new. They have been involved, both under Nike and prior to Nike. Like that same factory with those same employees who have been Fanatics employees since 2017 when Fanatics bought Majestic. I feel like you need a flow chart.
I'm trying
to keep it as simple as possible.
No, that's why we have you here. Paul Lucas of UniWatch is with us here on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone. So every time one of these things has popped up and somebody has complained about something, Major League Baseball, Nike's response has been like, yeah, okay, we're testing and we're looking into it. And, you know, it was an immediate impact during spring training where players were like, whoa, this is crazy. This is obviously way different. And there's always an adjustment period for every change there's going to be. But now we've gotten into the season. Same things are still happening. The jerseys get like way too soaked and sweaty, especially on the gray ones. And they just bleed through. The numbers and lettering still looks bad. Like what is Major League Baseball's or Nike's level of actually evaluating what they have as their product so far and then potentially implementing any sort of changes going forward?
It's hard to know exactly how they're evaluating it because aside from a couple of really perfunctory statements, they've been remarkably quiet about all of this. I find that both very disappointing and frankly pretty surprising because generally, like you called this a crisis at the top of the segment, and I would agree. And most crisis management handbooks, you know, literally or figuratively, do not include a chapter that says clam up and just, you know, put your fingers in your ears and hope it all goes away, which seems to be the approach that they're taking. I am truly surprised, especially because Nike, I mean, whatever you may think about their communications approach over the years, and I frankly find a lot of it kind of cringe-inducing, some of the marketing speak they tend to use, but they are not shy about, you know, touting their high-tech fabrics or their, you know, player scan fit and all of this business. And, it, you know, and a lot of it seems kind of silly, but they like to talk about their product. But in this case, they're not talking about it at all. And they haven't really, aside from, you know, we can see what a lot of the problems are. There are so many unanswered questions about why these problems have come up. And that I really think is a mistake on everybody's part, on Nike's part and on Major League Baseball's part, because I think you need to talk to the fans about this and be upfront about it and kind of own it. As for what they're going to do about it, I think they've kind of painted themselves into a corner, not just Major League Baseball and Nike, but the whole uniform world, because so much of what we see on the field now is driven by the sale of retail jerseys and caps. And so let's say they said to themselves, you know what, everybody's right. The players' names on the back look too small. We really ought to restore that and make it big again. But if they do that now, this season, then they've got all their retail partners with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of jerseys that no longer match what the players will be wearing. And B, the reason they won't match is that everyone has decided, yeah, that's actually not so good. Like the smaller lettering isn't good. So how would you like to be a retailer, you know, being stuck with a jersey that everybody has decided is deficient and no longer matches what the player wears? And so they're kind of, I think, st- stuck because of all this retail inventory, I think they have to kind of ride it out. I do think there's a decent chance that that element in particular, the size of the lettering, the player name lettering, could be changed by next season. But I don't see how they can do anything about it this season, because it would leave them with a mismatch between what's on the field and what they're selling. And, you know, and that's aside from the logistics of getting new uniforms for all the players on the field. Let's say they could snap their fingers and make that happen. But they would still have the problem with the mismatch between on-field and retail. And I think that's really why they're kind of stuck right now, and why we're all basically stuck.
You know, Paul, like, this is aside from the fit and the material and all that stuff, but just like you said there, as far as how it looks, do you think they were, Nike Major League Baseball was surprised when they rolled out the smaller letters, and, you know, it's such a shock to everybody at first. Like, some of this is just the shock factor, but obviously there's a lot of truth in the idea that they just don't look good. Like, do you think Major League Baseball was surprised by the reaction that they got, whether it was at first or still now, as we're a couple weeks deep into the season?
I think they're a little surprised. And it's true that some of it is the shock, and just some people don't like change. Some people don't take a little longer to get used to change. And now I have had, because I talk a lot to my readers, the UniWatch readers, I email and tweet back and forth with a lot of them. And I have had some readers say, you know, I'm getting used to it now. Kind of growing on me. And so, you know, the shock factor may wear off after a while, but there's no getting around that. It looks kind of rinky dink.
Yeah.
I've seen these quotes from Major League Baseball where they said, well, we used this template, these exact uniforms, last summer in the All-Star game, and nobody complained.
Well, I did. I hate the All-Star uniforms.
Yeah. Well, they mean none of the players complained.
Sure.
About, you know, the players are saying that. Now, let's say you're a player at the All-Star game and you're wearing, in this modern Nike era, you're wearing basically a costume, right? Like, for the, 'cause that's what All-Star uniforms are now.
Yep.
And you're in the home run derby, and you're like fist bumping with all these, you know, players from other teams who are suddenly your teammates on the National League or American League. You know, it's like a party. The All-Star game is a party. And the idea that the players were going to scrutinize and critically evaluate and give you like serious feedback on, you know, the ridiculous designs that they were wearing at the All-Star game, and that you were going to somehow,
right, you're willing to do it as a one-off,
get serious user feedback at that event, strikes me as really unrealistic.
Agreed completely. You're willing to do it like it's a one-off. You put on this weird shirt for a day, and you know, I'm not going to go back and immediately tell them what I think about it. It's just like,
right.
Yeah, I wore this shirt for a day. That's it.
For what it's worth, I wrote at the time, and I looked up what I wrote, that I thought the names on the back was, the wording I used was kind of dinky.
Yeah.
Because I thought the lettering looked smaller and the arching looked, I don't know. I don't know how else to say it. It looked dinky. And you know, players are only getting bigger, right? Like today's players are like bigger, broader shouldered, and most of them tend to wear a looser fit than the players that you and I probably grew up watching. And so, you know, you've got this smaller lettering on what is essentially a larger canvas, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
Like on a larger
just a bigger jersey, so yeah.
Yeah, and that just accentuates that dinkiness factor. And the idea that they did that, like, to save a fraction of an ounce in weight is just like, it seems laughable on its face. Like, the Yankees don't have any name on the jerseys, and they haven't ever. So are you telling me that the Yankees actually have had a competitive advantage over every other team for years and years because they didn't have like an ounce of fabric for the player's name? Like, all these years, that's been the secret to the Yankees' success? Really?
They're lighter. Costanza.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like when you actually try and think about, and like I said, most players, this is not like soccer or basketball or football, which are contact sports with extended bursts of motion. Again, except for the pitcher, most baseball players just stand there for the most of the game. And the idea that this kind of, I mean, do I think there's a difference between like a lightweight modern contemporary polyester fabric and the heavy wool flannels that players were wearing in the 50s and 60s? Yeah, of course I do. I think that can definitely affect performance. But the idea that shaving a fraction of an ounce and having like more stretch in the jersey is going to affect your average like right fielder, much less the DH who like sits on his butt most of the game, right? Like it just seems like absurd on its face.
It is. Yep, Paul Lucasuni watches with us. There was a story. I'm a Royals fan, and so there was a story with the Royals where they went through spring training and they still had the bigger lettering. You wrote about it on your website, and they made it into the first week of the regular season before they ultimately had to switch to the smaller lettering. What happened with the Royals?
So with the Royals, they when this was all rolled out, there were a couple of teams, both in Missouri, as it happened, that asked for certain things to, like, they said, can we please not do it like everyone else is doing it? We want to keep what we had on certain elements. So the Cardinals, whose logo script, you know, the chest script on the jersey, has long been chain stitch, which is like an embroidery process, rather than just being tackle twill fabric. They were told, well, we're not going to be able to chain stitch it anymore. And they said, well, wait a minute. That's important to our brand. That's like this sort of extra touch of quality that we want to keep. And so can we keep that? And so their owner, Bill DeWitt, he kind of talked to Nike and made a special plea, and they were able to accommodate him. And similarly, the Royals, they said, we don't like these smaller names, you know, those smaller lettering for the player names on the back of the jersey. We want to keep the bigger lettering, the full-size lettering. And they also were told, okay, you can keep it. But that only lasted through spring training. And it was actually at the start of the regular season, on opening day for the first game. I think some people may not have noticed right away, but it was right from the start of the regular season, they were wearing the smaller lettering like everybody else. And basically, they have told all reporters who have asked about it, the Royals have, you know, that wasn't up to us. We refer you to, you know, you better talk to Major League Baseball or Nike about that. And Major League Baseball said, well, we wanted it to be consistent. Yep. We wanted every team to be consistent, which, like, what does that mean exactly? Like, what is the value of, or, you know, what is the benefit of having a consistent letter size of every team? Again, the Yankees don't have any lettering, and the Red Sox don't have any lettering at home.
Well, like, if consistently nobody likes it, then...
Yeah, there's some consistency.
Right.
Yeah. What about, should they all have the same font? You know, like the teams with a custom font, with, you know, like the Reds and the Rangers, like what, that's inconsistent. You're going to impose a consistency on that too. It was such a classic non-answer. Like, yes, obviously you wanted it to be consistent, but why? What is the reason behind all of this? And that's really the answer that hasn't been provided for any of these changes.
Hey, Bryce Harper decided to pull out an old jersey the other night, which I thought was great. He had to go back ultimately. That, you know, I'm sure somebody got in his ear.
We don't know the story behind that.
Okay.
I've tried, but I have not gotten an answer. And the deal is that on Saturday, when the Phillies were wearing their cream alternates, because it was an afternoon game and that's what they wear for afternoon home game, Harper was wearing not just a pre-2024 jersey, and you could easily tell because he had the full-size lettering, you know, spelling out Harper on the back, and the positioning of the Major League Baseball logo was higher, and other things, the trim on the collar and the sleeve, it was all the old jersey. But he had the old pants, too. And so at least they matched, right?
Right.
And it wasn't clear if he wanted to wear that, or if he doesn't like the new style, so he said, give me the old one. Or it does happen from time to time that a player's regular uniform is damaged or unavailable for some reason. And it's not unheard of, not just in baseball, but in other sports, for a player to wear an older uniform for a game. And the only time you really notice it is when you're straddling the years between two templates, like I was talking about before, like where the collar is different or the lettering size is different. Like if Bryce Harper in 2023 had worn a 2022 jersey for some reason, nobody would know because those are basically the same design.
Right.
But stuff like that does happen, either because of uniform is torn or stained or whatever, and they sometimes have to pull an older one out of storage. So that may have been the case here. We don't know if Bryce Harper was really making a stand or something like that. I did ask him around, and I was not able to get an answer. But what we do know is that the next day, on Sunday, which was also an afternoon home game, so the Phillies were again wearing their cream alternate uniforms, suddenly he was wearing the new one again. He was no longer wearing the old one. So I still would like to know the story behind that, but so far I've not been able to get the story. But it's kind of silly that this is the thing that everyone's obsessing over lately.
It is.
It's sad. A lot of people, and that's the thing, it is all sad because people have come to me and said, you must be loving this. You know, what a story, a drop in your lap. You have so much to write about. People who don't even normally care about uniforms are talking about uniforms. And yeah, I guess that's nice. And I've certainly gotten a lot of traffic on my website and plenty to write about. But I love baseball. Baseball is my favorite sport. Baseball uniforms are my favorite uniforms. And to see this fiasco unfold and to see, you know, baseball uniforms not looking good and people basically making fun of them it's sad. Like I'm not sitting here, you know, rubbing my hands together with glee, like ha ha ha, you know.
No, like nobody likes
scandal.
It. Yeah.
No, it's a drag. Like seriously, it's a drag.
What do you just more general question? What do you think about Major League Baseball's just City Connect uniforms in general, and whether it's the design of them? I mean, we have all these. I'm a baseball uniform traditionalist, so like I always say, gray or white pants, and that's pretty much what I like. We've seen some kind of off-the-wall stuff. And then the rollout has basically been over a period of, what, 5 or 6 years now? Not everybody has even debuted them yet. Like, that whole thing has been, you know, quite the scene as well.
I think this is the fourth year of the City Connect program. I'm not a big fan of it, personally. Like, it seems designed to market baseball to people who aren't actually baseball fans. You know, to create lifestyle apparel, you know, that has the city name on it or the city initials or whatever, to people who aren't actually fans of baseball. And we've seen a lot of that in some other sports, like the NBA in particular. I do like one or two of them. My favorite one by far is the Marlin, because it's based on the design of the old Havana Sugar Kings. And so the quote-unquote story it's trying to tell, which is, like, always the term you hear now when a uniform comes out, that it has all this storytelling built into it. But the Marlins story is a baseball story. It's a story about baseball and about earlier baseball uniforms. And so I kind of like that, as opposed to like the Phillies one that just came out that is supposedly about how Philadelphians are unapologetic and like all this sort of nonsense about the city of Philadelphia. That I find, you know, kind of laughable. But and I don't mean that about Philadelphia. I have no knock on Philadelphia per se. I'm quite fond of the city of Philadelphia. But the idea that somehow that city is embodied in this uniform is makes me shake my head. I'm a Mets fan personally, and so the Mets are about to unveil their City Connect uniform this Friday, and I felt so lucky that they were not part of the program for the first 3 years.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've gotten off pretty easy. And now my day of reckoning is finally coming.
Because when they roll it out, there's about a 75% chance that it's going to be a complete disaster. Just from, it sounds like both of our personal tastes.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, honestly, it's, you call yourself a traditionalist. I usually call myself a classicist.
Sure.
When it comes to baseball uniforms. And this program isn't for us. It's not designed for us. It's like I said, it's designed for people who don't actually like baseball that much, but can sort of get behind the idea of like, ooh, it's cool to have a jersey with the, you know, the city name on it or something like that. Or for obviously for much, much younger fans.
Paul, enjoy the work, my friend. Thank you for doing it. We'll enjoy it while we can. I know you're stepping away from the website here next month, but nice, awesome run. We appreciate it. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed talking with you.
That's Paul Lucas, uniwatch.com. He will, he's stepping away from the website, which will still exist, uniwatch.com, uni-watch.com, at the end of May this year. But I am a nerd for this stuff. I could have talked to him for an hour.
I could have listened to you guys talk for an hour. That's great.
I mean, we didn't even get into, you know, college football, you know, any stuff like that.
I mean, NFL's rolling out uniforms this week, and we didn't even broach the subject.
Yeah. Sorry. It did sound like there's maybe a window of opportunity for this just to be a one-off, a one-off for a year, and then they can go back and sort of reevaluate. Hey, we're just going to – and you know how they do it too. They would just roll it out and the jerseys would be normal again. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't say that they were wrong.
Right.
They wouldn't say anything about it. They would just here are the jerseys again. They are better now.
We good?
Yeah. Which is fine, honestly. You know, you'd like to see some sort of admission of guilt, but
just get it right.
It right in the end, exactly. Thanks, Josh. That was fun. That was good. We should have him on every day.
Ooh,
and just talk uniform segment every day. What's
going
on?
Daily 10 minutes with Paul Lucas.
Exactly right. All right, we'll come back. AB on the other side. I'll get a recap from the Masters and look ahead to the portion of the weirdo sports calendar. Also, some NFL stuff kind of bubbling up as well. Al Bell joins next on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.